a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, members of the House Judiciary. Welcome to the House Judiciary Committee meeting today. Welcome to any internet listeners. Keep your cell phones off. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Representatives Hunt?
Here.
Johns?
Here.
DeSanto?
Here.
Haugart?
Here.
Langer?
Here.
Botterell?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Russell?
Here.
Westra?
Yes.
Gibson?
Here.
Killer?
Here.
Stevens?
Here.
Nicholson?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Come back to work.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. We have a quorum. We have minutes. May I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Representative Hunt, second by Representative Westra. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Minutes are approved. We remind any testifiers to sign in. Make sure your lobbyists are wearing your badges. Do we have new pages today? No new pages. She may be out. How about any visitors? Do we have any 4-H visitors, Representative Langer?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Would you like to come up and introduce yourselves? We have some 4-H'ers shadowing us today.
You may, one at a time, just come on up and turn on that microphone and tell us your name and where you're from and what you're doing here.
Good morning. I am Mariah Even. I'm from Corson County. I am the South Dakota 4-H historian this year, and we are very happy to be shadowing this morning.
Good morning. I'm Hannah Kilker. I'm from Marshall County, and I'm a first-year member of the South Dakota 4-H Youth Council.
Hi, I'm Miranda Wilkinson, and I'm from McCook County, and this is my second year as a member of South Dakota 4-H Youth Council.
Good morning, I'm Kim Fisher. I'm a first-year member of the South Dakota 4-H Youth Council.
Good morning, I'm Haley Kettler. I'm from here in Pierre, and I'm a first-year Youth Council member.
Good morning, I'm Contessa Harold. I'm from Turner County, and this is my first year on the council.
Thank you. You may be seated. We appreciate you visiting, and if you have any suggestions for us when you're done, I'm sure we'd take them. Our first item is House Bill 1065, a bill to revise certain provisions relating to voting trust agreements. At this time, we'll take proponent testimony for House Bill 1065.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Mike Stevens, representative from District 18. I'm here in support of House Bill 1065. In 2005, the state legislature passed what is called the Model Business Corporation Act, and really what it is, it's an accumulation of all the laws governing business corporations in the state of South Dakota. In 2013, the Uniform Laws Commission, we have, it's a pretty large organization that really, that's their purpose is to, which is to create uniform laws and then present them to legislatures to pass. They proposed a change, which is really what House Bill 1065 is all about. Now, you might be asking yourself, you know, what exactly is a voting trust? And the easiest definition of a voting trust is an arrangement whereby the shares of stock in a company of one or more shareholders and their voting rights are transferred to a trustee for a certain period of time. And our current law sets that time limit at 10 years. And so once that period of time expires, the shares of stock can be transferred back to the owners, who are then called beneficiaries. And why would a person want to have a voting trust? Well, there's two or three basic reasons for that. By doing that, several shareholders may wish to create a unified block of votes, which gives them a little bit more authority or a little bit more power as it relates to that corporation. Sometimes when you have that block, that trustee can use that to block maybe a hostile takeover. And even some corporations, you have to have a certain percentage of votes in order to even call a meeting as a shareholder. So there can be some real practical reasons of having a voting trust. What this bill does, House Bill 1065, is an attempt to change the time limitation that you have. You notice on in our bill here, it's a 10-year time limitation. What this bill does is it allows those people who want to come together and give this a trustee authority to really set the time limit that they want to have. They could have it just, you know, go as long as they want. They could have it longer than 10 years, or they could have it shorter than 10 years. And so this really gives them more of an option, and that's really what all this, that this bill does. You'll notice that it any trusts that were effective between July 1st of 2005 and June 30th of 2015, they would continue to be under that 10-year limit unless everybody who signed up for it agreed unanimously to change that date. So that's really all that this doing is really giving them some more flexibility. I will tell you that the state bar has reviewed this, and their committee has looked at it, and it was passed unanimously by the state bar. And so really it's just given our people in our state a lot more flexibility than they had before, and it doesn't change any of the essential powers that were granted to them. So with that, I'll let somebody else come.
Thank you, Representative Stevens. Further proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I have very little to elaborate more than the wonderful presentation that Representative Stevens presented. One of the reasons that Tom Barnett, representing the state bar, thank you. One of the reasons why the Uniform Laws Commission recommended doing away with that 10-year limit is because in today's financial world, sometimes financial commitments or commitments to creditors exceed the 10 years, and that's problematic. And that's one of the primary reasons. Secondary reason is simply the shareholders ought to be able to do and make the deal that they want to make. The other reason why I'm getting up here is you've got the biggest bill of the session, which is the Nonprofit Corporation Act. And I know that you'll take the time to go through those 170 pages. One of the things that you'll see in that bill is that it maintains the 10-year limit on a trust agreement to vote as a member. And I want to draw your attention to that. And the difference is simply a nonprofit ought to have transparency. Because of the special rights that we give nonprofits, we want accountability and transparency, and that's why the 10-year cap is maintained in the nonprofit bill. In the for-profit area, then it's in the interest of the shareholders to be able to vote and make the commitments that they want to make. And I just wanted to draw your attention that you're going to see two bills this session. One which has the 10-year limit and one that does not. And I just wanted to bring that to your attention. We urge approval of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barnett. Further proponent testimony? Any opponent testimony? Questions by the committee of the proponents? Seeing none, we're going to close public testimony and open things up for committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Johns.
Thank you. I would move do pass.
Second. We have a do pass motion by Representative Johns and a second by Representative Langer. Any discussion on the motion?
I think it's been adequately explained.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the motion? Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Representatives Hunt?
Aye.
Johns?
Aye.
DeSanto?
Aye.
Hogarth?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Latterell?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Westra?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Stevens?
Aye.
Nicholson?
Aye.
13.
House Bill 1065, having received the affirmative vote of by a score of 13-0, is passed.
Chair.
Representative Langer.
Move consent.
We have a second on consent. Are there any objections to the consent calendar? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill 1065 will move to the consent calendar. Our next item of business is House Bill 1066. It's a bill to clarify that the required notice requirements relating to continuing contracts do not apply to employees of post-secondary technical institutes. Do we have any proponent testimony on House Bill 1066? Representative Hager.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Obviously, I'm excited to be here. So, you know, I'm bringing this bill just to clarify the statute as it relates to tech schools. What we one thing about South Dakota is we've always been an at-will state for employment, and this clarifies that with respect to employees of tech schools. Now, traditionally for instructors, we've given tenure to K-12 teachers, but we don't do that for the tech schools, for the instructors in the tech schools. What we do for instructors in the tech schools is we give them a 60-day notice before we terminate their contract. So if we determine there's not a need for a position at a tech school, we will give that instructor a 60-day notice. However, this was never intended to apply to staff people or support employees or maintenance people and so on and so forth. And what has happened in a couple of situations is we've had individuals in those positions assert that the 60-day requirement, 60-day notice requirement, apply to them. And so this just clarifies that that indeed is not the case. So simple bill, and urge your support. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative Hager. Is there further proponent testimony?
I'll start over. My name is Dick Thiessen. I'm an attorney here in Pierre, and I represent the four technical institutes in South Dakota. We appreciate Representative Hager bringing this bill on our behalf. If I might ask you to bear with me just a moment or two, I think the bill will become much clearer if we actually go through it together. If you look at the first sentence, we're really not changing anything there. The law has always been that tenure, K-12 tenure of teachers, does not apply to the instructors at technical institutes. The only thing that's happening in the first and second line there is that we're referring to the entire chapter with regard to tenure instead of just those specific sections. So nothing's changing there. And if you continue reading the bill without our underscores and read it in the form that it appeared before the amendments to it, you'll see that after the law said we don't apply tenure to technical institute instructors, it then said at least 60 days prior to the termination of an employee in a post-secondary technical institute, the governing board shall notify in writing the employee of such termination. Well, I think that the reason we're here with an amendment and asking you to consider changing this is that the language of that statute was not particularly carefully drafted, and it created an ambiguity because it referred to employee and not contract employee. We have had a number of situations where a non-contract employee has taken a position that they are entitled to 60 days compensation if you're going to send me out the door today, or 60 days notice before you can terminate me. I suggest to you that the amendment we're proposing is consistent with the intent of the statute if you read it carefully in that way, because why would we allow any employee of a technical institute to have certain rights that no other at-will employee in South Dakota would have? We are indeed an at-will state. That means we can, as an employer, can terminate an employee who does not have a contract for any reason or no reason whatsoever. If there is a termination for cause, then that employee would not be entitled to unemployment compensation. If the employee was terminated without cause, then they're entitled to unemployment compensation. All instructors at the technical institutes are indeed contract employees. So the contract then governs what reasons they can be terminated for and what conduct they must abide to. So I think when you read what was in the law before we brought you House Bill 1066, it's clear from that the intention was in that statute to talk only about instructors who have contracts, only about teachers at technical institutes. Otherwise, why would it first say that tenure doesn't apply? So it was intended to speak only to instructors at technical institutes. But the second sentence, when it was added to see that there was notice given to those instructors, was somewhat clumsily placed on it, and we didn't catch it in the vetting of the bill when it passed. So as a result, we've had some problems, not anecdotal. We've had more than anecdotal issues where this is being asserted, and your tax dollars are being used to pay somebody for an additional 60 days, even though they should be out the door today because they've been doing something completely inappropriate. So we hope you'll support the bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Teason. Further proponent testimony? Seeing none, opponent testimony. Committee questions of the proponents? Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For Mr. Teason, please. Mr. Teason, you have referred to K through 12 tenure in your testimony, and I was under the assumption that K through 12 had continuing contract, not tenure per se.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, may
I? Proceed.
Yes, Representative Gibson, that is a term of art. Tenure and continuing contract are the same. So continuing contract that is referred to in 1349, or excuse me, chapter 1343, is tenure. That's what continuing contract is referring to. So I think we're talking about the same thing, if I understand your question.
Follow up?
The connotation between tenure and continuing contract is different in my mind at best, because tenure gives you a lot more latitude than continuing contract. And I'm kind of thinking that we really don't have teacher tenure in South Dakota anymore, and that's a little bit of a conflict of terms. It's all continuing contract.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Teason, and then I'd ask that we confine the rest of this conversation to this bill.
I have no problem using the term only continuing contract.
Thank you, Mr. Teason. Further committee questions? Seeing none, we'll close public testimony and open things up for committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stevens.
I move to pass.
We have a do pass motion by Representative Stevens, a second by Representative Lateral. Discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chairman, I think it was adequately described here as what the purpose is. I think it makes it very clear as to who this particular statute applies to.
Thank you, Representative Stevens. Any other comments? Representative Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make it clear that I will be abstaining from this vote as my wife works at one of the technical institutes.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Russell. Any other committee discussion? Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Hunt?
Aye.
Johns?
Aye.
Santo?
Aye.
Hogarth?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Butterell?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Russell abstain. Westra?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Killer?
Aye.
Stevens?
Aye.
Nicholson?
Aye.
12.
House Bill 1066, having received the affirmative vote 12-0 of this committee, is approved.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move it to be placed on the consent calendar.
Second.
Motion by Representative Stevens, second by Representative Langer to place House Bill 1066 on the consent calendar. Any objections? Representative Gibson objects. Consent calendar cannot be moved forward with an objection. Will be placed on the regular calendar. The next item on our agenda is House Bill 1067. I understand we're going to defer that. We're going to talk about our committee calendar after this. So, Mr. Barnett, if you maybe talk to us about, can we schedule that for Wednesday?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. House Bill 1068, revise when a court can grant cross credit on child support, is now before this committee. Do we have any proponent testimony on House Bill 1068?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Johns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm here to present on behalf of the State Bar Association House Bill 1068, which is entitled An Act to Revise When a Court Can Grant a Cross Credit on Child Support. And I have an amendment, which is 1068RA.
Has the amendment been distributed?
It is now.
Proceed.
May I speak both to the amendment and the bill?
Please.
Thank you. When parents separate, one of the major issues before the court is who's going to have custody of the children, where are they going to reside? And of course, the other question then becomes, if I am a non-custodial parent, how much am I going to pay for the support of those children to the custodial parent? Recently, there's been quite a move afoot for shared parenting. The idea is that the parents, or the children rather, will spend as much time as possible with both parents. And last year, we passed SDCL 25-4A-21 through 27 that specifically addressed that. That will permit courts, and they have always done this, but it encourages courts to have children spend as much time overnight with both parents. There was something that was overlooked last year, and that was the current bill that I'm presenting to you, which is 25-7-6.27. When a court decides child support, the court bases it upon the income of both parents. And if under our law now, if a child spends 10 or more nights a month with the non-custodial parent, then that parent can receive a credit on the child support that they're ordered to pay. SDCL 25-7-6.27 allows parties to enter into a detailed shared parenting agreement where the children would spend at least 180 days with both parents. And under that, then, they're entitled to cross credits so that I wouldn't be paying 100% of the child support. Both of us are going to have the kids equal amount of times or as close as possible to equal amount of times, so we have to adjust the child support that would otherwise be ordered. The current statute requires that you have that the parties stipulate to that and that there then be that detailed shared parenting agreement. The proposal is to now provide, since the courts are ordering that children spend equal amount of times with parents when it's appropriate, only when it's appropriate, but the statute now requires that agreement, and the change that is proposed is that it would, if a court orders it, then the court can go ahead and decide to what extent there should be a cross credit. The court doesn't have to order it, but if the court finds it's appropriate, then it may do so. So the proposal is that the statute now would read in the first paragraph, if a custody order by the court containing a detailed shared parenting plan, which provides that the child will reside no less than 180 nights per calendar year in each parent's home, and that the parents will share the duties and responsibilities of parenting the child and the expenses of the child in proportion to their incomes, the court may, if deemed appropriate under the circumstances, grant a cross credit on the amount of the child support obligation based upon the number of nights that the child actually resides with each parent. This is actually just cleanup legislation since we overlooked that statute last year. I would stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Johns. Is there further proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Tom Barnett representing the State Bar. Representative Johns gave a good history. I was thinking back to a number of years ago when Representative Hunt was serving in this legislature and shared parenting was an issue back then. And it took many years of discussions between proponents and opponents on shared parenting before we were able to reach the compromise language that was enacted by this legislature last year. And as Representative Johns said, this was an oversight. We didn't catch that restriction on the court's authority to consider cross credits in shared parenting situations, and we didn't catch that literally until the bill was already down on the governor's desk. So we made a note, this is a cleanup thing that we were going to need to do this year. I alerted Senator Lederman, who was the Senate negotiator on shared parenting from a year ago, about that oversight, and we just agreed last year we'll fix it when we come back. The amendment that was just distributed, when the final draft came out and came up on the LRC website, the Family Law Committee looked at it and suggested that it would read a little cleaner with the amendment. The amendment makes no substantive change whatsoever in the draft of the bill. It just reads smoother. I urge you to adopt the amendment and to send it down to the floor. Do pass. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Barnett. Further proponent testimony.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Roger Tellinghuesen on behalf of the South Dakota Trial Lawyers. I hadn't intended on getting up on this bill, but I think the amendment needs one word corrected. The word containing, I believe, should be contains. And if it's changed to contains, then that long sentence will read right. I've conferred with Representative Johns about this, and he's authorized me to say that he has no problem with my suggestion, but with that, we have no objection to the bill or the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tellinghuesen. Representative Johns, would you come up here? You have circulated an amendment, and would you just confirm you all right if we cross out the word containing and insert the word contains?
I am certainly agreeable with that, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Johns. Is there further proponent testimony on House Bill 1068? Is there any opponent testimony on House Bill 1068? Seeing none, I'll open it up for committee questions of the proponents.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Westra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for Representative Johns. Just better help me understand if this bill does the bill mean that both parents have to have each children for 180 days to get the credit?
Mr. Chair.
Proceed.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
That's current law. Hasn't changed anything.
Thank you.
Representative Haugard.
I apologize for not having a historical background on this, but I'm wondering why they didn't come up with a number other than 180, such as 150 or something that would give a little more latitude to the parties, because I can envision that most of these parties are not going to have these kids in their home exactly 180 days out of the year. It'll probably indicate that they have, but to keep it down to that level, it seems like that's kind of burdensome, and it seems like there'd be a reasonable basis for saying 120, 150, something like that. But maybe you can give me some history for that.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Johns.
There is the other statute that allows for a credit when there's the child spends 10 or more nights a month with the parent, so it would be handled under that one. The cross credit is a little more sophisticated as to how you arrive at it. So the idea, of course, was that the children should be spending an almost equal time with the parents, both parents.
Follow up?
No follow up.
Any further committee questions on House Bill 1068? If not, we'll close the public testimony portion of House Bill 1068 and open things up for committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Amendment 1068-RA as amended.
Second. We have a motion on Amendment 1068-RA by Representative Gibson and a second by Representative Killer. Good morning, Representative Killer. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Do you want to specify that it's passed?
Amendment 1068-RA has passed, and I will confirm for the record that the word containing has been changed to the word contains, which I think we incorporated.
It will be a different number.
And our minutes will reflect an updated amendment number. Is that okay with the maker of the motion and the second? Very good. Thank you, Amanda.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stevens.
I'd move to do pass on 1068 as amended.
Second.
We have a motion by Representative Stevens and a second by Representative Westra. Do pass House Bill 1068. Comments on that motion?
I believe it was adequately explained that this is just a cleanup as it relates to the child care credit.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Hunt.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
DeSanto.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Langer.
Aye.
Botterell.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Westra.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Nicholson.
Aye.
No yay.
13.
No nay.
Very good. House Bill 1068, as amended by a yet-to-be-determined amendment number, which we have approved, has been approved 13-0 unanimously. Further committee action.
Mr. Chairman, I move to be put on consent agenda.
Okay.
A motion by Representative Stevens, second by Representative Wester, that we put House Bill 1068 on the consent calendar. Are there any objections?
Objections.
Representative Lateral objects. It will not be put on the consent calendar. I assume Representative Johns will carry it on the floor, but Representative Lateral, feel free to pitch in. Representative Gibson. With that, I think that concludes the scheduled business of this committee this morning. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
Motion by Representative Hunt, second by Representative Langer to adjourn. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.